if you're saved. Amen. All right, well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I've preached on this verse before, and I've thought about it a lot through the years. Some preacher said something about it one time, and I never forgot it. It just stuck with me, this little saying that Isaiah said. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? Now that is something that every preacher always asked himself. Is anybody listening? Has anybody believed? Has it affected anybody? Has it done any good at all? Is there anybody that has believed? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. How many of you want to be a preacher? Not a hand. Well, Gary's waving a little bit back there, but, you know, yeah, sad, but the rest of you don't really want to, do you? And really, by nature, the natural desires, neither one of them guys do either, really. Just the sense that the need and the importance of it. And who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the context of this, and I'm going to read some more, but the context of this is, what he's saying is, it just seemed to me like ain't nobody listens. Ain't nobody believed it. Ain't nobody understood it. Ain't nobody took it and done anything with it. It seems like it's just been a waste of time. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root of the dry ground, out of the dry ground. And he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's all the context. Who hath believed our report? It's a prophecy of Christ, and it's a prophecy of how it'll be when Christ comes. Who believed him? No, very few. When he died alone. And all men forsook him and fled, even his own disciples. And it looked like nobody believed. But there were a few that believed, and it became obvious right away who it was that did. In John chapter 12, Jesus refers to this scripture in Isaiah. In chapter 12 of John, verse 35, he says this, Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light. Read over in Revelation where he tells the church that he'll take away their candlestick. Take away the light. You see, you're sitting here this morning and you got light. There's light. But there may come a day when you won't have that light. There's multitudes this morning sitting in churches, Baptist churches, where there is no light. Why? Because the light was there, and they wouldn't believe it. God removed the light. That's what's going to happen in your life. You listen to me this morning. That's what will happen in your life. You keep rejecting, and you keep ignoring, and you keep turning it off, and turning your head, and plugging your ears, and avoiding it. And you'll find yourself in darkness. And you'll find yourself one of these days groping for light, and you won't be able to find it. And that's going to be a fearful thing. Jesus is saying, right now, you've got the light for just a little while. And while you have the light, believe in the light. Who hath believed our... Well, let me finish reading here. He says it himself. That ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? You see? Most simply don't believe it. That's the way it is. Preachers preach, people testify, people live their life, and other people just don't believe it. The world's full of infidels, always has been. People who do not believe, they just don't believe it. They simply reject it and go with the multitude of sinners. That's right. Some of you in here doing that. You don't believe it. You just don't believe it. You just don't believe it. Because you will not believe it. Believing it is not an intellectual obstacle that you have to overcome. It's in your heart. The obstacle to believing the gospel is your heart. And the sin of your life. That's what's blocking you from believing. That's why you have trouble. That's why you have doubts. That's why you have questions. That's why you have difficulties in your mind accepting the truth of the gospel. They simply reject it and go with the multitude because it's easier that way. If you don't like what I preach this morning, there's a dozen churches you can go to within driving distance of here easy, more than that. And you'll hear just what you want to hear. Me and her were talking the other day, and that's what I said. You know, all you got to do to get a crowd is just tell people what they want to hear. You don't have to just outright tell bald-faced lies to them. Now, it advances to that to keep the crowd, but to get a crowd, all you got to do is just tell them what they want to hear. People are so gullible. They're so easily deceived. Hitler rejoiced in it. He bragged about it and boasted about it, how easy it was to be a dictator because people love to be lied to so much. And they love to be told sweet, smooth things that they like. They won't sit still for the truth, and they won't allow themselves to be corrected, instructed, and changed from their wicked ways. Most just won't believe. They don't believe, they won't believe. They reject the counsel of the Lord and accept the counsel of sinners. That's a grief to anybody that's ever preached the Word of God, all the way from Isaiah, the prophets, farther back than that. I mean, from the beginning of all of this, it's always been the same way. Anybody that stood for the Word of God and preached the Word of God has always asked the question, who's believed it? Who's going to believe it? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I mean, I don't see it affecting anybody, hardly. And most of the time you think, it ain't affecting nobody. That's what you think. That's the way it appears. That's what it looks like. Because people won't believe. They reject the counsel of the Lord and accept the counsel of sinners. It bumfuzzles you. It perplexes you to see people hear the absolute truth about the matters of life and reject it and go with a lie. And they got to know that they're going with a lie, and yet they do it anyway. And if you got a sound mind and you have believed the report, then you just have a hard time figuring out. You ain't going to figure it out. Can't figure it out. I done come to that conclusion a long time ago. It is insanity. Sin makes people insane. That's why they do what they do. They do irrational, illogical things. So that's the answer right there. They count the testimony of the prophets of God and the Word of God as fairy tales, or they adulterate it with other ideas from the minds of ungodly people. They mix it all up and come up with their own religion. I had a woman come in the store, and we had the store at the blood, and that's what she's told me flat out. She said, well, I've studied all the religions of the world, and she said, I've just kind of come up with my own idea of everything. She just took a little from here, a little from there, and a little bit there, and just mixed it all up, and you'd be amazed how many people do that. She was pretty brazen about it. She was pretty over the top with it, openly, but other people do it too. You just pick and choose what you hear, what you're going to believe. Yeah. And you may agree with it in your mind, but I ain't doing it. You may hear what I say or anybody else, and you may agree that it is from the Scriptures and that's what the Bible teaches, but I ain't doing it. Yeah.
From being a church when the church is open to the, how you live, who you run with, the way you talk, how you dress, everything. You just make up your own as you go. What you think, what you feel, and how it affects you among those other people that you run with out there. Pretty much all the prophets and the people of God through the ages who've given the report have been lightly esteemed and ignored and rejected and hated and despised and even put to death. Jesus said, you garnish the prophets, the sepulchers of the prophets. And you're the children of those that killed them. You say, if I'd have been in their day, I wouldn't have killed them. Yes, you would. Jesus said, oh, yes, you would. He said, fill you up then to measure your fathers. You got blood in your eyes right now against me because I'm telling you the truth. And you act like, and you worship the prophets and you honor them. What men of God. And said, if you're just like your fathers. Same old deal. And we were talking this morning in your bulletin there. She's been putting a little biography deal about different men, you know, like Tozier. And this morning's Leonard Ravenhill. And, you know, you ought to look up some preaching of his. He was something. He was right on. It'll help you. It'll bless you. And they wrote a lot of things and everything, but they didn't do so much writing. Tozier did, and they did some. But what I'm saying to you is in their day, they weren't so highly respected. None of them ever have been. Woe unto you if all men speak well of you. If everybody likes you, you're a false prophet, Jesus said. That's just how it is. They don't like the real prophets. Who hath heard our report? Very few. Very few will hear. Very few will believe. Who hath believed our report? They won't believe it. And they didn't for them either. They write their biographies and they tell them about them having big crowds and all this. But really, really, there were very few people in their day who respected and regarded them. Very few. Very few. And there, and those we revere now as the great ones of God, if we'd been in their day, we'd have seen that they were not revered except by a few. And even Jesus, like I said a while ago, he died alone, mocked, despised, and rejected of men, just like Isaiah said was going to happen. But who heard his report? Well, when he died, it looked like nobody was going to. But you have heard the report. You may not believe it, but you've heard it. So has the rest of the world. They've heard it, but they ain't believing it. Only a few heard Jesus, and it soon became obvious who they were. Only a few believed, I say that. Now, most people just don't believe it, that's all. Some people want to believe, and they try to believe, and they sincerely want to be rid of the doubts and uncertainties that plague their minds and hearts about God and eternity and all of that. They think the story of Jesus is lovely, and they like the songs, and they love the worship and all of that. And they believe he was a wonderful person. They celebrate his birth at Christmas and his resurrection in the spring and with enthusiasm and emotion. And there are some that seek to know about him and study and listen and try to learn of him, but they don't know him as the Son of God. There's some that don't believe at all. There's some that want to believe, but they stumble and they're stopped and they haven't believed. There's no such thing as partial, y'all. There ain't no such thing as partially believing. You either believe or you don't. And you need to really get that. You got problems, you're not in, you ain't committed to God, and you know, your life ain't changed, you ain't got that water in you they just sang about. There ain't no joy there. There ain't no real life in you. You ain't believed. You haven't believed the report. Once you believe the report, there'll be a change in you. And when somebody says, tell me who's saved, you'll put your hand in there and say, I am. And it won't be no shame about it. And there won't be no doubt about it. And you won't be no iffy about it at all. The redeemed of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord will say so. Yes, sir. You just can't stop them. They've tried it all through all the centuries. They've burned them on stakes, and they've nailed them to crosses, and they've done everything in the world to stop them and shut them up. But what does it do? It just makes them cry the louder. They beat the apostles and said, "Don't you ever speak in this name again." And they said, "Well, if you think it's better to obey you than God, you got another thing coming. We got to obey God." And they went right out and preached Jesus again. Couldn't stop them. "I cannot but speak the things which I've seen and heard." You ain't seen and heard nothing and believed it if you ain't got nothing to say. Multitudes seek for miracles in order to believe on Christ. And boy, that's a big one right there. But they're just like Herod. They don't get to see any real miracles performed by him. Now, you may, in the day we live in, you can see all kinds of fake, phony ones. Turn on your TV. Watch them clowns, them devils, them deceivers work their miracles so you can believe. Nobody ever believed because of that junk. That is not the foundation of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by miracles. Herod just wanted to see a miracle. And if God would have thought that would have worked, Jesus would have said, "Okay, Herod, just sit still and watch this." He wouldn't do a thing, wouldn't speak to him. And Herod died and went to hell. And Jesus, he come that close. Miracles won't save you. They're not the foundation for faith. It will not make you believe. A miracle will not make you believe. And how many people have said that through the years? "Lord, if you just do this for me, if you just deliver me, I'll believe." No, won't work. If you want to see miracles, believe. You ain't going to see no miracles till you believe. And these jokers trying to save the world by performing miracles and raising chickens from the dead and stuff like that. What a fool to believe such nonsense as that. But it's just like I told you a while ago. People want that. They desire that. So there's a plenty of these money mongers out there that'll do it for them and tell them what they want to hear. And they can fly around in private jets all over the world and live in mansions. And the people will just keep on harking over the money to them to do it. And they'll all end up in hell. That preacher and the people who think they believe the report because of this phony miracle junk. Nope, nope, nope. But multitudes are just like that. They try to believe and they never really have the connection with the living Christ. Anybody that is basing their salvation on the fact that they seen a miracle, or they think they seen a miracle, or even if they did see a miracle, it's not real. It's not real. It's faulty, phony, and it won't stand up. Some people think they believe. Some people don't believe. Some people want to believe. Some people think they believe. They've heard the report of Jesus since they were a child, and they've been familiar with it so long that they don't even question the fact that it's true. And that's pretty much the way everybody is here this morning. Yeah. You believe in Jesus. You believe it's true. I mean, it's not that you question the reality or the authenticity of it. Many think they're one of those who believe because they grew up in a Christian family and they've always been identified as a Christian. You think you believe just because you believe the facts. Many think they believe because they've done what they told me to do. In some church or some meeting somewhere, they prayed a sinner's prayer. Did you read that quote? But all those quotes in the bulletin are by Leonard Ravenhill. Did you see what the first quote was? Any of you read that stuff? More people have went to hell because of the sinner's prayer than the bars in the world. Sinner's prayer sent more people to hell than the bars. I believe that. They've joined a church and become a member. And why? You say, why? Because there's been so many preachers that are so eager to get somebody saved so they can go tell everybody what a successful preacher they are. And people believe my report. I can tell you who's believed my report. 1,525 last week. They were so anxious to do that, they just said, "If you'll just pray this prayer, if you'll just raise your hand while I pray this prayer, I guarantee you, you're into heaven." And you're saved forever. No matter what you do from here on out, don't matter. You're going to heaven. You may go kicking and screaming, but you're going. It ain't going to look too good. You just wait till you see what that looks like at the judgment. And you can't convince them they're twofold more child of hell than they were. When you get somebody like that. I hope some of you ain't like that this morning. I hope you ain't trusting in that feeble, shaky little foundation like that. Let me tell you something, what I'm talking about, if the Spirit of God ain't convicted you of being a sinner and ain't worked in your heart, and God the Father didn't draw you, and you didn't come to God realizing that you were a wretched sinner and needed God, you just didn't get it. Praying a little prayer, don't do it. Agreeing with the preacher, don't do it. A lot of people think they've heard the report and they believe the report because they did something like that. They did some little religious ritual. They got baptized or something like that. You ought to get baptized if you're saved. But that don't save you. They've joined a church, become a member. Some people think they're believers simply because they attend church and they identify themselves as a Christian. Many think they believe because someone else told them they did. I've had people ask me, you think I'm saved? What in the world are you asking me? If you got to ask some preacher if they think you're saved, I'm just going to tell you straight up, it's very doubtful that you are. And I can just almost say with certainty that you're not. You ain't going to be saved and not know it. It's not going to be that way. It's such a real thing. It's such a reality that you're going to know. You'll have the witness in yourself. You'll have that water that the song talked about a while ago. You got a river in you, springing up into everlasting life. You'll have so much to tell, you won't be able to hold it. Amen. Many have a Christian religion, but not a living Christ. And see, let me tell you something. I don't care what kind of preacher, who he is or whatever. If he don't look for that, and if that ain't his goal, if all his goal is just to get new members and just to build a work for God and have numbers and a successful appearance, he ain't for real. He ain't for real. He don't care for the souls of men. Any man that's called of God to preach to people, he's going to give it everything he's got every chance he gets. And he can't get up like this and look at a bunch of people and just coddle them into hell. He's got to look at them and he's got to, if he really cares for your soul, he's going to dig. And he's going to plow. Yes, sir. Can't let it go. It's too important. The religion may be built upon miracles and wonders they've seen and experienced, but that's proof, in my opinion, and I believe the Bible backs it up, that they have not believed in Him. Now the question is, there's some that won't believe, don't believe. There's some that think that want to believe, but don't. There's some that think they believe, but the question is, who has believed? In Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 16. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 16. I'm trying to practice saying that because I'm getting a lot of feedback about they don't know where I'm at and I can't get the verse because I say it's fast to go right on through it. So there you go. Now where am I at? Where am I at? Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 16. All right. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord has a new thing in the New Testament, buddy. The Jews made a big difference. God made a big difference between the Jews and the Greeks, the Jews and the Gentiles. But in the New Testament here in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, Paul tells us there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And by the way, it has always been that way. You could get in even in the Old Testament, even if you were a Moabite, banned from the sanctuary for 10 generations, you could still get in, because Ruth did. All you had to do was believe the report. Believe the report. That's what she did. But you could tell that she believed, couldn't you? What was that she said? thy God shall be my God. She professed, she confessed, and she identified who she was. Not a Moabite. She left it all behind and became one of God's people. So it's always been that way. The New Testament and the coming of Christ just opened the views, pulled back the veil so everybody could see. And these Jews had a hard time with it. Gentiles didn't. They came. Well, these verses explain it right out there. No difference. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I know y'all have heard that verse, haven't you? How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? You see? And then down in verse 20 through 21, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. Who's that? The Gentiles. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Who's that? The Gentiles. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Who's that? The Jews. The people who received the oracles of God. The people that God delivered by miracles and wonders in the desert and in the Red Sea and then across the Jordan and when they went in to take the land, and all through the millennia God had manifested himself to these people, and yet they were a stubborn and stiff-necked and people, and they refused to believe the report. That's the way it is with church people. That's why you can go to a prison and preach and people will hear and get saved. I seen a picture the other day. When you get to heaven, you're going to be surprised. Showed the church people sitting in the pews who's not there. And the prisoners sitting in their uniforms, sitting listening to preaching in the prison, and who will be there. And that is the truth. That don't mean that sinners are going to heaven and saved people are going to hell. And good living people are going to... It means that people just will not listen. The Jews wouldn't listen. God was made flesh and dwelt among them. The day sprang from on high, visited them. And they refused him and rejected him. They despised his words of life. They despised the miracles that he did. But the Gentiles didn't. They believe. Who hath believed our report? It's the ones you don't think will. It's the ones that you overlook most of the time. It's the least likely. See, we size up everybody and say, there's a good person, boy. They got a good family. They're moral people. They're successful in business. That's the kind we want in our church. That's the kind I want to preach to. Worst kind. Least likely to believe the report. The ones that's most likely to believe the report are the ones that are on the very bottom. The ones who haven't heard. That's why you can go to a mission field in a third world country somewhere, or a jungle, and it always has been this way, and tell them and teach them about God and how he came and gave himself for their sin, and they believe it. I just believe it. How many of you have seen that video of Etow, the missionary? All y'all, some of you haven't. Need to get that and put it out here so you can watch that. It's an eye-opener. Man went to the jungle over in New Guinea, I believe it was, and went to a village where people had never been messed with. You know, nobody had ever been there. He spent 3 months teaching them every day. The whole village would gather together, and he would teach them. He started out teaching them about God creating the world and the universe and everything. And he just taught them all the way through Genesis
And then through Exodus and told them about God's people, he taught them the whole foundation before he ever mentioned Jesus to them. Never told them about Jesus. He told them about God and the creation, laid the foundation. They didn't know anything. Had never heard the word of God. They didn't know anything about it. They were just naked savages in darkness. And you ought to just see what happens when he starts telling them about Jesus. The whole place just comes apart. They believed the report, obviously. And you can preach to people in churches who've grown up in America and heard it all their life, and they just sit there like, can't wait till this is over. Can't wait till this is over. Who hath believed our report? Not them. Not them. All right, who hath believed to obey the gospel? He said there in Romans chapter 10, not all have obeyed the gospel. Well, it means to recognize it, to submit and conform to its authority. It becomes the most important thing in your life once you believe the report. It's to see the gospel as a command by the greatest authority in the universe and not as just a lovely emotional story. It ain't just a story, a fairy tale. A bedtime story. It's not just a something you make a movie out of. It's not a novel. It's not fiction. And it doesn't land on you that way when you believe the report. It means to submit our will. I'm talking about what it means to obey the gospel. It means to submit our will, our life, our all to Christ in whom we have believed and not trust in anything else, good or bad. To hear the gospel is not to believe the gospel. All who have heard have not believed. We just read it there in Romans chapter 10. All who've heard it haven't believed it. So hearing the gospel is not believing the gospel. You're hearing it. You've heard it right now this morning. Don't mean you've believed it. Don't mean you've obeyed it. God manifested himself to Israel through millennia of time, and as a whole, they rejected God all the way through and still do to this day. And then they rejected Christ when he came. And many who hear the gospel do the same. They accept it as truth intellectually, but they will not obey the gospel in reality. That's where some of you are here right now. You know every word of it. You can jerk your Bible open and you can point to scriptures and you know the doctrine and you know the scriptures, but you haven't obeyed the gospel. And when you do, there's a big change in your life. Always is. Ain't no such a thing as being saved and on your way to heaven when there's been no great change in your life. No new birth. No awakening. No enlightening. No illumination of your mind. None of that's happened. You're not saved. You haven't believed the report. Now you may know it better than other people who have believed it. You may know all the details. You may be able to preach it yourself. But if you haven't obeyed it, it's of no avail to you. At the same time, the scripture tells us there were those who had not heard and to whom God had not manifested himself who believed on him. Wow. Without special revelations or miracles, they believed on God when they knew little of him in comparison to Israel. You see, he's talking about the Gentiles. When Peter went to Cornelius, for example, Cornelius didn't understand a lot. He just knew there was a God in heaven. He knew he was a sinner. And he knew that he was going to face God. And he didn't know what he was going to do. Or how to be right with God. And God made a way for Cornelius to hear. God won't hear the prayer of a sinner. He heard Cornelius' prayer. He called Cornelius a just man before he was even saved. He was seeking God. He was looking for him and praying to him. And the Bible clearly says that God told Cornelius that he heard his prayer. Made it very plain that he did. And he did. He was a Gentile, a Roman. Wow.
He didn't have to get hammered and preached to and preached under the pew and plowed and humiliated and yelled at and instructed. Nobody had to do that. How is that? How is that? And somebody can sit in church for a lifetime and buck up and resist and, boy, I mean, put up their defenses and fight. And somebody else ain't never heard nothing, and they'll just yield immediately when they hear. Who hath believed our report? Well, it never is the ones that you think will. And that's a hard lesson for any preacher to learn and to really learn. It's one of those things you see it and you say, boy, ain't that the way it is? And then you just kind of fall back and say, why won't they believe? Who's listening? Why won't anybody listen? Why won't anybody believe? And keep on reaching out to the same kind of people. Keep on thinking that the way to be a good Christian now is just preach to church people. And there's, you know, I realized a long time ago, and I just mentioned a while ago, I remember being in meetings and stuff and good things. And we were talking, like, to Elizabeth, I think, the other day. We were talking and everything. And I said, you know, we used to be in the middle of it all the time, around a bunch of people all the time. That's what our life was. We were always in the middle of it. We weren't alone. We weren't out by ourselves, you know. But I realized back then, you know, there's a lot of people here that they're not reaching out to anybody. They just go from meeting to meeting, and that's their life. It's just like a big reunion every time they go anywhere, and they go to camp meetings so they can see everybody and be with old brother so-and-so and hear him sing and do this and that. And that. Well, that's okay, but life's got to be more than that. We ain't no good as a Christian if that's all we do is just rejoice together when we're together, and then go home and ignore the world. I found out that, you know, and God reminds me often about it. You just need to reach out to the people who've never heard. People that you don't think would listen. People that you don't think would believe. They're the ones that will believe more often than these others. So whether you believe or not, it's not dependent upon how much you know about God, but how you react to what you do know. The thief on the cross didn't know much, did he? What did he know? Well, he knew he was a thief and he deserved what he was getting. He knew Jesus didn't deserve it. And he was getting the same thing he was, but he didn't deserve it. And then he realized, and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's all there was to it. See? The thief on the cross evidently believed the report without knowing a great deal. It's not how much you know, it's how you react to what you do know. The other thief railed on him, gnashed on him with his teeth. Didn't repent. Didn't come to his senses. He didn't obey the gospel. All right. Many don't believe because their eyes are blinded and their hearts are hardened. John chapter 12, verse 38 through 40. There it says, I read part of this, but he said that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. All right, now who blinded them? Now be careful how you answer. Let me read that last part again. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Was it God who blinded them? No, it wasn't. When a person's talking, even God, he don't use second person and first person about the same person in the same sentence. He.
Who does the Bible say that is blind? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, little g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Some people don't believe because they're blind. Can't see. God didn't blind their eyes, the devil did. He and I should heal them, it says. They're blind, which means they can't see. They can't see and they can't understand. Now that's a sad and hopeless state to be in. Blind. Think about it. You don't understand. If you're here this morning and you're blind, you don't understand the thing I'm talking about. You're out. You're just bored and you're just wishing. You're just like Charlie Brown. I'm the teacher and you're Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. That's what it sounds like to you. You don't get it. You don't understand. It don't make your soul dance. It don't make your soul do nothing. It's just noise. You're blind. The devil has blinded you. He's put your eyes out. Just like they did to Samson. He's put your eyes out so you cannot see. Who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our report? One thing's for certain. Few have really believed. That's for sure. They who have believed have made it clear with their life as well as with their words. Those who have believed obey the gospel. It becomes the law of their life, the guiding principle of all they are and all they do. Those who have believed live by the gospel. It is their compass in all aspects of life and eternity. You can tell the difference. Who hath believed our report? You can tell. With time, you can tell. You know, when we give an invitation this morning, some of you could say, I'm believing today, I'm believing. Well, that'd be wonderful. We'd be praying for you, and I'd be for you. But I really wouldn't know whether you believed or not until we see where we go from here. There's evidence. You say, you know, ain't no other churches do like that, and they don't believe like you do. They always did. That's the way it always was. The Pharisees came out to John the Baptist and said, we want to be baptized. And he said, you bunch of vipers! Bring forth works meet for repentance. I ain't baptizing you bunch of reprobates until I see you living right. The Baptists all say, works! He's preaching work salvation. No, I ain't. That's salvation that works. I don't preach no salvation, don't do nothing for you. I don't believe it. I think it's a damnable heresy. And it's sending people to hell all through the years, and now it's sending everybody to hell because everybody's believing that report. They believe that report, but they won't believe this one. People who have believed the report, they live by the gospel. They obey the gospel. You can tell. You can tell. Changes their life, changes their tone, changes their attitude, changes the way they view other people and treat other people, and the way they live their life, and who they associate with, and who they want to be around. Yeah. Those who have believed have had the arm of the Lord revealed unto them. Now, I said it a while ago, if you want to see miracles, believe. And I ain't saying the same thing to you that those TV preachers are saying. Believe for a miracle. They're saying, you know, that the way they've got it turned upside down. Believe and wish for a miracle and pray for a miracle so you can believe more. No, that's not the way it is. They who have believed have had the arm of the Lord. To whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? I wonder how many of you in here have really, really. Now, I'm not. Don't be light. Don't be frivolous and foolish about it. How many of you have seen the arm of the Lord revealed? No. They've experienced, they've known Christ in the most inner part of their soul. You know, some of the things that I've seen that I count most miraculous are not things that happen physically, not things that I've seen God do You know, it's what I've had in my soul.
They've experienced the grace and comfort of God in their inner man where no one else can see or find or feel or go or do anything for you. But their faith is not based in their experience, only confirmed in their experience. Oh, you need to get that mercy. That is just so important.
I don't believe in God because of what He's done for me. Well, I believed in Him before He ever done anything for me. And if He'd never done another thing for me, never spoke to me, never comforted me, never even manifested Himself to me whatsoever, I'd still believe in Him.
Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. He's taken everything I've got away from me. But I blessed be the Lord God.
He didn't have to have anything from God to believe in Him, to trust Him, to love Him.
But boy, a lot of people do, don't they?
God's always on trial in their life. If things don't go well for them, they're mad at God and ain't got no use for Him. He ain't taking care of me. He don't care. Just like the disciples in the boat. Carest thou not that we perish? Everybody's got that. God's just on trial all the time, all the time, all the time. And if He crosses you and if He don't please you and if everything don't go your way, He's out. And you're mad at Him.
That ain't believing the report. You believe the report, He's God and it don't matter. I mean, what do you deserve? What do you think you deserve anyway?
A lost, wicked sinner who's blasphemed and hated God and lived wicked and ignored Him, and then He saves you and you think you ought to... What do you deserve? Don't deserve another thing. Don't even deserve that. Deserve to be in hell right now, forever. But God in His mercy had mercy on you and me. He don't have to do nothing for me. But He does. And it's wonderful. And it doesn't make me believe anymore. That's my point. I don't have to have that stuff to believe in Him. I believe in Him. I believe the report. And the arm of the Lord has been showed unto me.
But your faith, their faith is not based in their experience, only confirmed in their experience. See?
I mean, take it to the very simple thing. The children of Israel, they're at the Red Sea. The end is near. The Pharaoh's got them surrounded. The Red Sea's on one side. They got nowhere to go. They're dead. It's over. Game over. Looks like. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. And the Red Sea parted and across they went. Well, don't you see? That's a confirmation. Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. And God confirmed in the wilderness over and over and all through all the ages. God does that, but not so that you will believe, but because you do believe. They don't believe because of what God has done for them, but are aware and thankful for what God has done for them because they believe. God is a reality to them. We're talking about people that have believed the report and who have had the arm of the Lord revealed unto them. They confess that they're strangers and pilgrims in the world. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 14. Well, I've got that poem. I've read it before to you. It's not a poem. It's just a list of resolutions by... It says they were found on tacked to the wall of a young African pastor. He said, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. Amen. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals.
I no longer need prominence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, applause, or popularity. I no longer have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk with by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. You see, he's believed the report. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. You know, it had to be a black man that wrote all this. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all I know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He'll have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Who hath believed our report? Have you believed? Have you seen the arm of the Lord? Have you made your choice forever? Are your treasures in heaven or upon earth? Have you believed this morning? Don't wait for some miracle to happen to you in order to believe. It'll never happen, I can tell you that. If a miracle were to happen and you were to believe based upon what God has done for you, it would not be saving faith. You have to believe in Jesus, not in what God's done for you. That ain't what saves you. Faith in Christ is what saves your soul. It's what redeems you from your sin. You've got to look unto Him and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. You can't look to your faith. Don't have faith in your faith. Don't trust your faith. Don't trust in how much you believe. Is that hard for everybody to understand? Most people, their hope is based in how strong they believe that they believe. And they're going to end up in hell doing that. When you believe in Christ, you'll find the burden lifted. You'll find rest for your soul. It'll just be like gliding out into the smooth water as far as your soul's peace and all that. Now, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but that's not what we're talking about. We can deal with that if we got peace in our soul. If we're at peace with God, we can deal with the trouble that everybody else gives us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Where you at this morning? Have you believed the report? Same old report. Isaiah gave it. Abraham gave it. Noah gave it. Abel gave it. Have you believed the report? Are you going with the multitude? Are you going to step out like this young African pastor did? I mean, the die is cast. He made it real clear. That's just real good, all that he said, because that's just how it is. I can identify with every bit of that. Don't put your faith in your faith. Put your faith in Christ. Don't base your faith on what you've done or are doing or what God has done for you. Put your faith in Christ alone. Why can't you believe the wonder of the gospel? Some people won't believe. Some people try to believe. Some people think they believe. Why can't you believe this morning? Jesus heals the blind. Maybe you're blind. Let me tell you something. Jesus heals the blind. You say, why did he heal those blind people? Because that was the illustration. It was to show that even when the devil blinds you, Jesus can open your eyes. All you got to do is get close to him. Like old Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, let me read you this and then I'll quit. 10:46. Mark 10:46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. Did you ever hear Lester Roloff saying, "One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind. The light he could not see. But Jesus passed by. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace." And that's just what everybody's going to tell you. And that's what they're telling you in your mind right now. You can just hear your friends, the people you work with. You can just hear them mocking you and making fun of you if you did really give your life to God. Many told him, "Shut up. Be quiet. Just be quiet. Don't make a scene. He ain't interested in you anyway. Forget it. Stay where you are." But you know how that affected him? But he cried out. He cried the more a great deal. He drowned them out. What have I told you about entering into the kingdom of God? You don't do it without a lot of tribulation. You don't do it without violence. You don't do it without overwhelming these enemies and these obstacles. Blind Bartimaeus cried out the more. They were saying, "Shut up," and he just drowned them out. "Jesus, have mercy on me." Guess who heard him? Above all the tumult and all the noise and all the hollering, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise." Boy, I could preach on this all day long. "He called thee, he calleth thee." That's what he's doing to you this morning. I'm telling you, Jesus is calling you. He calleth thee. They told blind Bartimaeus, "He's calling for you. He heard you. Now he wants you to come to him. Get up and come to him." They had to lead him to him, no doubt, because he couldn't see. But he could hear his voice. And they called the blind man. And he, casting away his garment. See there? Man, ain't there a sermon there? I mean, he casted off his garment. Now, I don't know exactly, I can't tell you just exactly what that means, but he threw off all the covers. He wasn't hiding nothing before God. Yes, sir, he left it behind and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." If you just knew that you were blind and you knew that there was a whole universe that you weren't seeing, but you could see if you weren't blind, you'd be begging to see too. And if you got to Jesus, that's what you'd ask him, "Lord, open my eyes so I can see." Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what happened to old Bartimaeus here. And Jesus said to him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight. Then what did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. Because he could see. Stayed with him. Amen. So, you see, have you believed the report? Having trouble? Was it because you're blind? Well, I told blind Bartimaeus just showed you how to take care of that problem. So you were without excuse. Why don't you stand this morning? Let's stand for a minute. What's that song that says, "Jesus is tenderly calling"? I've always liked that song. I've always thought that's a good invitation song. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Will you hear him this morning? Will you? How many of you will say, "Yes, I have believed the report"?
I have.
Yes, sir. I believe it. Changed my life. That's why I'm different. That's the only reason I'm different. I was just like everybody else. I had my head full of this world and full of philosophies and full of science fiction and filthiness and junk, just like everybody else. And I was as blind as I could be. But something happened. Yes, sir. I heard the report. I finally believed the report. I finally met Jesus. And it changed my life. It changed me into what you see now. What you know now. You kids of mine even, you never knew me. You never knew me. The old man is dead. What you see before you because I believed the report. That's all that made the difference. That's the only thing that made the difference. I believed the report. I obeyed the gospel. And the arm of the Lord has been revealed unto me. Thank God. You do get the confirmation once you believe. Have you believed? Has the arm of the Lord been revealed unto you? Well, that's about all I can do. I can beg and plead with you, but I have done my best to make it clear to you this morning how it is. Surely you understand. I don't know how else to make you understand any better. If you're blind, I can't make you unblind. But I can tell you where to go to take care of it, how to get around that. Believe God this morning. Believe Him. I'm telling you, you ain't got much longer to fool around. This ain't the 1800s or the 1900s. Boy, we're getting to the end of this thing. And the lights are going out. Brother Kenny last night, he said, "Well, how's the church doing?" I said, "Well, it's about the same. You know. Or maybe losing a little. You just can't." He said, "It's that way where I'm at right now." And he said, "Everywhere I go, that's what I hear. Everywhere I go." You want to know why? Because the light's going out. For a little while, you have the light. Jesus said, "Believe while you have the light." It's too late. When the light's gone, it's too late. Do y'all understand that? Be thankful you can come to church where there's light. But you better believe the light and obey the light while you're in it. Bow with me. Lord, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the message. I thank you for answering prayer and helping me with this. And Lord, I feel like I've done all I know how to do and the best I could this morning. Somebody else might have been able to do better. But I pray that, Holy Spirit, you'd take the words now, the message, the word of God that was preached here. And I pray, Lord, that you'd plant it deep in good soil. And Lord, it did bring forth fruit here this morning. Pray somebody realize, anybody here might be the least, the one that I least think might not have believed the report, really. I pray you'd quicken their mind and their heart and awaken them, Lord, and that they would realize what it means to believe the report and to obey the gospel. And to have the arm of the Lord revealed. Lord, please. Pray none of these would be lost this morning. Please deal with hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate you listening. I'd be very glad to hear that somebody come back tonight and tell me, you know, "Hey, what I did today, I believed the report." From here on out, it's going to be different. Amen. Amen. Want to make somebody happy? Want to fix that darkness in your soul and life? There's your answer right there. Everybody that's standing on the other, it's just like we're at a big river here and it's flooding and we're saying, reach across, reach across. You just reach across and come on over to the other side. Yeah. Let us go over unto the other side. Why don't you do it? Amen. All right.